Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was as yesterday while we were in an intercession, I had this vision, and it was this generating of grace that was began to make a circular motion, and as it circulated from the heart of this house, it began to move outward and cause there to be a change of atmosphere where people were able to know that God was promoting them in a way that they changed their life. And so, you know, as the parade progressed, as people gathered, I was envisioning this wind of God moving in and through them to bring a change in their thinking and the change in their life. Even if it was just a small thing, it was a beginning of something new. And so we are representing the heart of the Father moving in grace. And we're having a great impact in this terrio. And so never forget that. Never underestimate that. You know, wherever we are affecting great change in the spirit realm. And that's a promise by God. So I'm celebrating that this morning, and I'm rejoicing with you in what God's doing. Well, Merry Christmas. This is Christmas Sunday because the next Sunday will be New Year's Sunday. So, yeah, time flies when you're having fun. And certainly this has been a journey of joy. Hey, let's make a bumper sticker on that. The journey of joy. Yeah. Joy in the Lord. Because that is His strength manifested in us. Without that, we would be most pitiful. We would have nothing. We would look around us and we'd only see gloom and despair and misery. And if it weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all, right? Some of you are connecting with that, I can tell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that way back. But the question this morning is something that the Lord implanted in my heart, and it is just who is Emmanuel? And so as I was looking through the scriptures, I found only three references to Emmanuel. And the first two weren't spelled with an E. And so I was searching out for a connection with the season that we're in and the birth of Jesus, because it's interesting how the world around us acknowledges and is functioning in the design that God created, and yet there is a hesitancy to give God glory, to give Him thanksgiving for what He made that allows us to move in His grace, in the promotion that He has from His throne for each of us. And just for reference, the birth of Jesus is the most significant point of history because starting at His birth, you count backwards to the beginning of time. And starting at His birth, you start at, that's the beginning to count forward to the present day. So no matter how you look at it, the birth of Jesus was day one. I thought, that is amazing. That is powerful. And certainly it explains the discrepancy of how you can be, 40 years before Jesus and 40 years after Jesus, you know, and getting that straight in your mind. But this makes the Christmas season not only a celebration of the birth of Jesus, but a celebration of our heritage. Now, the world knows a physical framework that was set by God. Paul in Romans said, you know, even the heathen, even those who don't know about God, know something about God because they're seeing His framework. They're seeing His creation. They're seeing how things function together in a harmony that continues to foster life, that continues to bring life. And so you have the seasons, and you have the earth that was prepared to receive seed and to produce plants that will produce after their kind, and it's a continuing process. And if man were taken out of the equation, the earth would be totally inhabited by plants. Well, animals too, but so this makes Christmas not only a celebration of the birth of Jesus, but a celebration of who we are as sons of God. So looking back, we see many prophetic words about Jesus, but the one that is most recognizable is the one that comes from Isaiah. And Isaiah gave a prophecy to Ahaz, the king of Judah, as a sign that God was going to do something with Judah, with or without him. You know, Ahaz was doing his own thing, and Isaiah was sent to talk to him about, listen, now's the time to put away all your other things and just really focus on what God wants. So in Isaiah 7, 13 through 14, we find this prophetic word being given to Ahaz. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also?" Now this is the response that Isaiah gave to Ahaz, because Ahaz was saying, I'm not going to get involved with God. You know, you say that, but you know, I'm not going to do it. And so because of that response, Isaiah brought this sign. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." And this sign was to show him that he was going to be partnering with Israel. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that's spelled with an I. Okay? And this is such a wonderful prophetic word that because it contains it gives Judah a foundation for their heritage. It gives Judah the foundation of why God is continuing to work with and through them. Now, we fast forward. Well, let's see. The word Emmanuel, let me describe that first. In Hebrew, things go backwards. You know, in the Greek, you read right to left. In Hebrew, you read left to right. So, is that right? Yeah, left, right to left. No, yeah, right. Figure it out. It's good mind exercise. Anyway, so when the name Emmanuel is spoken, it is saying, "With us is God." That sounds a little backwards, but I think it's significant. It speaks a little bit more of what the relationship of God was to his people. If we fast forward some 400 years, we look at Matthew boldly declaring this prophecy by Isaiah to be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And Matthew faithfully records the dilemma that Joseph found himself as he the woman that he's engaged to, pledged to, and comes up pregnant. And so he's trying to figure out how to preserve his sense of justice and spare Mary from public humiliation. He's really a nice guy, but he knows what's right, and he wants to do what's right all the time. So we know the story about the angel coming to him in a dream and explaining everything. So in Matthew, the first chapter, verses 22 and 23, Matthew sums up the sequence of events with this prophetic word from Isaiah. Let's read it. He says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold," this is where I change my voice, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted as "God with us." So there is the Greek translation that flops the subject and the verb. And So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. The name that the angel told Joseph to call the child was Jesus, not Emmanuel. Or even the Hebrew spelling of Emmanuel. And so we see this in chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "And ye shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So as I was looking through the scriptures, no one ever called Jesus Emmanuel. It was never mentioned again. It was never brought up again. Although the principles of Emmanuel were there, it was never his name. And so I was looking for the tie-in where Jesus and Emmanuel would be connected together. And as I looked at the name Jesus, in the Greek, it was pronounced Iesos. And of course, it is a noun of the Hebrew origin, which is pronounced Yehoshua. Yehoshua, which is translated as Jehovah saved. So the Son, who gave himself to follow the plan of the Heavenly Father, was known as Jehovah saved. So how does this name Emmanuel come into the picture? And what does it mean for us as saints in our day now? So here is something interesting that I found. When Isaiah identified the one who would be the heart of his prophetic word, he said that the virgin shall call his name with us is God. Now, interesting, that word name, to call his name, is translated as shame. And it is to be called to a specific position or assignment, identifying marks of our identity that's upon us from God, so that we are functioning as God has designed us to function. It's about a declaration of a position that is going to function in the Emmanuel, in the with us is God. So what is being declared is a pronouncement of the relationship that will overshadow all of us. Matthew translates this word name as anama, which speaks of authority or the character of someone. So this name speaks about how someone is able to command and to direct, and it speaks of the quality of that person that causes there to be that point of respect and of authority. So, interesting enough, this anama is derived from the word gnosko. We have studied this and recognized that the gnosko is to be aware of or to perceive something. It is about gaining a knowledge or an understanding so that you are able to follow and participate. So the name is about understanding the authority and purpose of Jesus. It is about declaring his position in the presence of God. So when Isaiah and Matthew use this word for name, they are really talking about the full measure of the character and authority that is to be understood and allowed to function in its true identity. So the name of Emmanuel really speaks about how that person, how Jesus himself, was under the shadow of the fullness of God. And he would follow the plan of the Heavenly Father to be the Savior of mankind. So this Hebrew word, Emmanuel, is translated in a way that, you know, as I was thinking about it, it was really talking about how the people were there by God. They were created. They were now in that position by God's design. So, in other words, to see Israel, to see their obedience, to see their devotion to the ways of God, was to see God's work on them. And Emmanuel in the New Testament seems to lean more for the concept of, as we function in the salvation of Jesus, God will be with us then. So there is these two leanings to speak about creation of those people of Emmanuel, and those that are functioning with Emmanuel. Those two, I think, are very legitimate understandings and very poignant in what Emmanuel speaks about. Jesus was the one who fulfilled fully God's heart and became a memorial of what God was doing with his creation. Jesus declared, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." Jesus was to be understood as the one God communed with to establish his kingdom. He was functioning in the Emmanuel. He was functioning in the God that was with him. And so we see the angel of the Lord telling Joseph that they should name the Son of God Jesus. Now, why this harmonizes with Emmanuel is because it was God's plan to partner with man so that there would be salvation, so that there would be a restoration, so that there would be a new thing brought to pass, so that there'd be an expansion of the kingdom. And so Jesus' name, when it was translated as Jehovah saved, it signified a placement by Emmanuel, by the God that was with him. So this word "with" speaks of God's participation in the ministry of what he had commissioned Jesus to be and to do. So the name of Jesus would carry the power and authority and the depth of the Father for the fulfillment of his eternal plan. And this is what is Emmanuel. So Jesus, the name, God saves, Jehovah saves, encompasses that concept of Emmanuel. And here's where it gets interesting for us. In the next chapter of Isaiah, he continues to speak to the people of Judah. And this was a time when Ahaz, who was the king of Judah at the time, was trying to negotiate with Assyria to help fight off the northern kingdom, Israel. So the king of Israel, which is the northern kingdom, was he's got a real funny name, but it was Rem-al-Yahu. He was indeed a Yahu. But he had joined with Syria to take Jerusalem. He wanted to come down and get rid of Ahaz and put in a king that he would choose that would serve their cause, his cause specifically. And of course, there was something in it for Syria. But in the early part of this conflict, Isaiah appealed to Ahaz, king of Judah, to choose to partner with God for a victory and forget about partnering with Assyria. Now, you can study what was going on with Ahaz at this time. I mean, there's a lot of bitterness swirling in his family, and it just got passed down to generation to generation. But because of this bitterness, Ahaz wouldn't be persuaded to know that God was going to do something without Assyria. Even though Isaiah had said, the Lord has told me that Israel and Assyria aren't going to prosper. You don't have to worry about them. The Lord's going to take care of them. And he said, ask for a sign so you'll know that God is on working with you. And of course, we know that story. He said, I'm not going to trouble God. He's not part of my lifestyle. Why should I go to ask him anything? And so this is where the next prophetic word from Isaiah comes in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 7. Now, this is Isaiah talking. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord, this word Lord is Adonai, which speaks of the placement and assignments of the people of God. So God, who's in charge of where they are, bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come upon all his channels. I mean, he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks and shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel. Isaiah is talking to the king of Judah. He's referring to what's going to happen to Judah if they don't partner with God, if they keep their partnership with Assyria. And what began as a refreshing water for Judah against Israel and Ramal Yahu turns into a flooding river. And this is something that God's going to cause. This is God's judgment on Ahaz for not trusting him. And what we see here is that Adonai's prophetic word spoken through Isaiah just referred to Judah as Emmanuel, which is speaking of Judah's placement to be functioning at the behest of Elohim. They were to echo what had been deposited in them. They were to be who God made them to be. They were to reflect the heart of God for the restoration of his creation. They were to be carrying the burden of the Lord. They were to be a nation of honor. They were to be a nation that demonstrated the blessing of God. They were to be a nation in commune with the heart of the Father, Elohim, to be in the depths of his identity in everything they did, so that as they move forward, they would take the land. They would just not conquer it, but they would cause that land to produce according to God's creation, what God made it for. It was to see them function in this commune as a nation, that there would be a demonstration of Elohim and their devotion to his ways was going to place them in the midst of exactly what he was doing. And there would be blessing. There would be success. There would be going forth and coming back successfully. They were going to be demonstrating the fullness of who God was, the depth of who God was, the breadth and the height. With us is Elohim. That's what Emmanuel was speaking of for over them. And with us, God is being shown to be Emmanuel over us. We are functioning in this same concept of Emmanuel. We are in God. He is over us, and we work in the blessing of God. So when Matthew brought this prophecy forward, he identified Jesus as the one that Isaiah had talked about, and he called him God with us. Not that Jesus was God incarnate on earth, but that Jesus was functioning in the provision and the direction of God. So when we accept our relationship with the Father as sons, we come under this heading. We are the ones who are being supplied by God for what He wants done. We are who God made us to be. And we are functioning in the way that God has called us to function when we are accepting our responsibility as sons. And we are looking for that relationship with Him that comes from His foundational words. We as sons are who God has made us to be to fulfill the commissioning that He has called us to do, and He has promised to bless as we fulfill His calling. So this name, Emmanuel, truly describes the relationship Jesus had with His Father, and it describes our relationship with the Father. So, as God entrusted Jesus with the expansion, with the bringing of the kingdom, with that new thing closing out the Old Testament and bringing in, Jesus fulfilled everything so that there would be that new beginning. And we are in that place of continuing this expansion. So it is in this identity that we have become truly magnified in the spirit realm. We teach with authority. We teach with a specific purpose. We teach with the design of God. We function in our personal life in a relationship with the Father that causes us to be truly under His authority. We are truly in that point of Emmanuel. We are teaching the reality of knowing the true passion that God has for partnering with us. This concept of being in that point of Emmanuel, of wearing that name, of those who are under His authority and who are being provided for according to His design, is really what is causing people to look at who they are and their relationship with the Father and wanting more of their relationship with the Father than they've ever had before. We are establishing the high places with the Father, that we are in our study of the Word, that the Word becomes fresh and alive, and we move forward in a greater capacity to understand His heart. So God's plan for us in this coming year of grace is going to bring us a greater measure of Emmanuel, a greater measure of our ability to trust and to be present with the Father in the things that He has called us to be. And it's going to become more evident to the enemy that this is where we are. This is the point where we face what God gives us to do with the confidence that the provision He gives will cause us to grow stronger against the enemy. And the demands of our position and our walk in the kingdom of God, we begin to carry a greater contrast to the road that is wide that leads to destruction. And the obvious difference is going to compel an understanding of how significant, how great the responsibility is for each of us to stay in Emmanuel, to represent the full measure of what God is wanting to do in partnership as sons. Our appointment as sons with this identification as Emmanuel is going to be where we experience our relationship with the Father in growth, in drawing closer to Him. We now, as sons of God, have been positioned in a critical point of grace to move forward. We represent what God is wanting to do right now, this day. And so, like was spoken of this morning, every day we need to ask the Father for that activation of what has been planned for us and what has been given to us to fulfill that plan, be known by us and applied by us. So we see Jesus as described in the scriptures, the firstborn of many. His placement as Emmanuel is our placement as sons. And we have been ordained by God for his work of restoration. God is with us as we function with him in this Emmanuel. So as Isaiah declared that Jesus, the one who saves, the God who saves, will be recognized as that point of covering by God. It is that point of covering of us as adopted sons. This is our heritage. This is what we celebrate. With us is God. We represent what God's doing. And in that representation, God is providing. God is with us. And we are recognized in this specific position, in this specific assignment that marks us and identifies us as the ones partnering with the Father in this Emmanuel. So I speak over us this morning, this blessing of understanding our heritage. I speak over us this blessing of what Emmanuel means. And I just declare over us that we will know the Father's heart in such a greater measure as we move in grace, as we move forward in the things that he has prepared for us for this time, for this place, for this season, that it would be a continual growth forward in the expansion of the kingdom. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for what you have planned to do with each of us. I thank you for that name, Emmanuel, that is a description of our relationship with you as it was for your son, Jesus. And so, Father, we share in this inheritance, and we thank you for it. We thank you for what lies ahead, and we thank you for all that has brought us to this point, all the preparation that went from the very beginning till the birth of your son, and all that has transpired from that point to this present moment that has given us the privilege to stand before you and our identity as sons who wear the name Emmanuel. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this assurance of your presence with us. Thank you for what is going to happen that we are able to partner with you in. And so I just speak strength. I just speak a measure of empowerment, clarity, understanding, so that we stand pure and we stand in obvious opposition to what the enemy has set before us. And we know the path we're on. We bless your name, Father. We glorify all that you have done and you plan to do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.